Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. During the last few weeks, our sermons have focused on end times theology. And the same is true for this, the last Sunday of the church year. But just so we understand, let's set up the timeline a little bit here, okay? Because obviously we're still living in this day, in this age, and so eventually what we need to expect is we need to expect that Jesus is going to come again. And when that comes, it's not like it's going to be a secret. You're not going to have to turn on the news and go, oh, well, did Jesus come today? Because I need to consult the news reporters to see if it's true. No, everybody on this entire earth at the exact same time will know the moment. Everybody, it will be without a doubt, everybody will know that Jesus is back and that he is Lord of the heavens and the earth. Now, consequently, at the same time, literally, simultaneously, everybody is going to be raised back to life. Everybody who has died, believer, unbeliever, everybody alike will be raised back to life. And so those alive and those who had been dead, they'll all be together in this moment going, Jesus is coming again. And then we get this picture from Matthew 25. Jesus gathers the nations in front of his glorious throne as judge. I'll read our text for you once again. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Now, the goats are the unbelievers, those who never had faith, those who never had use for Jesus at all, didn't want his cross, didn't want his resurrection, didn't want his forgiveness. And we find out throughout the text that they are those who do not serve their neighbor at all. The sheep, on the other hand, are those who belong to God, those who are included in God's flock, and consequently, they do serve their neighbor. The real question, though, is how do you hear Jesus' words? Because Jesus gives this sort of laundry list of things that his sheep do, doesn't he? Well, how does it make you feel? Well, let's find out. Jesus says to his sheep, come. You who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Now, if you are anything like me, you're going to hear these words, and you're immediately going to say, uh-oh. The last time I drove by one of those homeless guys with a cardboard sign, I pretended not to see them. You know, you do that thing where you start talking to the person in the passenger seat so you don't have to make eye contact. Other than family, I don't think I've ever visited somebody who was sick or in a nursing home or prison. I mean, that's a scary place, right? Where they keep murderers and thieves. Why would I ever go visit somebody there? I've never thought of visiting prison. I've never been to a prison. And so upon hearing Jesus' words about what we're supposed to do as his sheep, giving food to the hungry and drink to the thirsty and clothes to those who don't have any, I feel pretty lousy. Do you feel inadequate at Jesus' words? Like you haven't done enough? Like you failed to be counted amongst his sheep? Because if any of that resonates with you, good. Good. First, because there is no harm in recognizing sin. There's no harm in recognizing where we have fallen short and where we can sort of improve and actually live our lives of faith to the fullest. There's nothing wrong with that. Because ultimately it drives us back to the cross. It drives us to our knees and to seek Jesus for all of our good. But it's also good for another reason. Because as you look at the text, the sheep don't hear Jesus' words and go, "Oh, you're right, Jesus, we did all of that stuff." No, they go, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or in prison?" They're confused. They're sort of left scratching their heads. They don't get it. Why do they deserve such commendation from Jesus? Well, it's because the sheep serve without realizing that they're even serving. It's because the sheep, they have that faith that leads them to serve and do things that are selfless, not because they're going to be able to sort of hold it before God on the last day, but because the Holy Spirit has led them to do it without their realizing. And in fact, if you're not worried about all of these things that Jesus said, then you actually have something to be worried about. If you sort of have that chip on your shoulder and you go, "You know, I've done all of these things, God. I visited the prisons. I visited the sick. You know, I've given food away and clothing and all." And if you're sort of puffed up in all of the things that you've done, then you have good reason to be concerned. Because the goats are those who aren't worried. When Jesus comes and he goes, "Look, you guys are going to be condemned," they're left scratching their head too. They don't get it. "Lord, if we had seen you hungry, we would have given you something to eat, but we didn't see you. All we saw was the bum. You know, if we had seen you naked, we would have given you some clothing. But Lord, we didn't see you. Lord, if we had known how to minister to you, we would have done it. Whatever was required of us. Because we're good people and we do what's right." But the Christian knows that it's not about what you can do for God, but about what God does for you. You see, too often in our lives we imagine that God tallies all of our good works in the good column, and he tallies all of our sins in the other column, right? And so throughout our entire life, God is constantly keeping score. Okay, one thing wrong, two things good. Two things wrong, three things good, right? Like he's Santa Claus or something, right? Checking his list twice and all this other nonsense. It's not about being naughty or nice. It's not about doing what is good or what is bad. God doesn't have a divine tally sheet. He's not going to take it out on the last day and go, "Hey, good for you. You have one more good work than sin in your life, so you can come on in." That's not the way God works. That is the way the goats think that God works. And when somebody has that sort of mentality, God counts it all as sin. There's literally no tallies in the good section. It's all just bad, even the good stuff, you know, because according to our world, you can do good things. I mean, I can donate clothes to a food bank, or the Salvation Army or something of that nature. But you know what? If I'm looking for some sort of personal glory, it fails to be a good work. It's just not. You know, we see this in the world all the time too. You know, celebrities, they'll make a foundation, they'll make a nonprofit, right? And they're going to help hundreds and thousands of people. But then you look at their foundation and it's named after themselves. How self-serving. Sure, they're going to help all these people, but who is getting the glory? It's that kernel of selfishness that is in each of us, where even the good we do, that we set ourselves to do, there's always that kernel of selfishness that makes it fail to be a good work. No, the good works we do are those we don't even realize we're doing. They're the things you just go, "Well, this is just what we do." It's not because you're looking for glory, not because you're looking for God to sort of put a tally mark in the good section. No. The sheep know that you can accomplish nothing good on your own. You know that Jesus accomplishes everything good for you. That is by his grace alone. You know, the Christian doesn't wake up in the morning and go, "What sort of good work should I do today?" Because by the time they've asked the question, the day has already started and they're already done. You see, when we do good things, it is not actually us who does them, but it's God working through us. When you do good things, it's not because you need to get that tally mark. It's because the Holy Spirit has driven you to do something selfless for your neighbor or something selfless that serves God. God gets the credit for those things. The Holy Spirit gets the credit for those things. And consequently, when we do everything wrong, we get the credit. Anytime we mess up, we get the credit for that. Because you know that it is only the blood of Jesus that can heal the world. That it's only His love that chases out the atrocities of sin. It is only His death that saves and only His resurrection that assures you of your own everlasting life. But this reading is spectacular because it leads us to a proper understanding. Proper understanding of where good works lie and a proper understanding of where salvation lies. The truth is that salvation must come first. You must be covered in the blood of Jesus. You must be resurrected with Him from His tomb. You must first believe. And after that, then you can serve your neighbor as if they are Christ Himself. Only then will Jesus commend your service in His name. Only then can the Holy Spirit sort of selflessly drive you to do the things that you know you ought to do. Most of the time without even realizing you're doing it. Because the truth is that the only thing that makes you God's sheep is your faith. God doesn't care about what the goats do. God doesn't care about what the sheep do. God cares about the condition of your heart. Belief or unbelief. And the proof of your belief is found in the good works that you accomplish. And so as the day of the Lord approaches, rest assured. Because you are God's dear sheep. You belong to God's flock. How do I know? Because you're here. Sunday in and Sunday out, you come here to depend on Jesus Christ, to receive His forgiveness, to receive life, to receive salvation, to receive everything that He has done for you. Because as you hear that your sins are forgiven, you know that it's not about you, but it's about Jesus. You are God's sheep because God has made you that. Because He has washed you clean, because He has given you a new heart in the waters of baptism. You are God's sheep. Why? Because you have been led to those pastures on the mountainside of Israel. Or in church, the Lord's Supper, where you feast on the very body and blood of Jesus Christ, where you receive everything you need for salvation. You are sheep. Most importantly, because God has said, you are sheep. And on the last day, you will be on the Lord's right side. You won't be those who are thrown into the devil that has been prepared for the devil and his angels, but God will welcome you into eternal life. In the name, for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.